Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 3. We pick up our reading from verse 22 this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 3. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. When Joab and all the host that was with him were come, they told Joab, saying, Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and he has sent him away, and he is gone in peace. Then Joab came to the king and said, What hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away? And he is quite gone. Thou knowest Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest. And when Joab was come out from David, sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sirah. And David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died, for the blood of Asahel his brother. And afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and all his father's house. And let there not fail from the house of Joab one that have an issue, or that is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lack of bread. So Joab and Abiathar his brother slew Abner, because he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. Very gruesome message today, but a very powerful message for us to consider. In 2 Samuel chapters 2 through 5 records the transitional period in the life of the kingdom of David. It began with him returning from exile in a city called Ziklag, and it ended with his return to Hebron. You should get used to these names and these cities. In the Bible, they're very important. David was overwhelmingly chosen as king of Judah. It was really an endorsement of the will of God, who had anointed him through the prophet Samuel way back in 1 Samuel. David reigned in Judah for 7 years and 6 months. If my tongue is a little twisted this morning, pray for me. Sometimes your words don't come out as you want them. And God have to remind us that we are mortals. And I'm seeing this every day. We should pray. During the early part of David's reign, there was continued resistance, rivalry from the house of Saul, the 11 tribes that didn't recognize David. It was a testing period for David, a test of his character. David's character was first tested when news came to him about the death of Saul. How would he act? Would he rejoice over the death of his long rival? Would he be glad to see him go? He passed the test. He did not rejoice over the fall of his enemy. He executed the one who claimed responsibility for Saul's death. First half of chapter 3, David's character is put to the test. And by the way, this is the title of our message, Character of the King. Here in chapter 3, in the first part, would David seek revenge over his rival Abner? No, no, no. He sought terms of peace in seeking to unify the house of Saul with the house of David. He wanted to bring them together, so to speak. In verse 20, Abner returns to Hebron the second time with a delegation of 20 men. Verse 20 says, so Abner came to David to Hebron and 20 men with him. David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. Big feast. This feast was held. It was customary when leaders showed solidarity. It was a new bond that created peace and goodwill as Abner showed a change of heart toward the king. Verse 21, and Abner said unto David, I will arise and go and will gather all Israel unto my Lord, the king, change of heart, that they may make a league, a covenant with you, and that you might reign over all that thine heart desireth. David sent Abner away. He went in peace. Wonderful, isn't it? A rebel made peace with David. I miss, maybe you are a rebel here today. Like Abner was once a rebel. Found peace. Abner left the presence of the king in peace. And this brings us to our message today, where David's character will be tested yet again. Abner was murdered by Joab. Unnecessarily, David's general, a man that David vested his trust in, betrayed him. How would David respond to this? It will reveal his character, showing what kind of king he will be. Would David become a king in pursuit of peace and reconciliation? Or would he continue to seek revenge? The rest of the chapter provides the answer that I will go through with you. First, we see the confrontation. Verses 22 through 25. Verse 22. All the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop, brought in great spoil with them, but Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. Joab and David's servants returned from the battlefield with the goods that they had captured. David had just made peace with his former arch rival Abner and sent him away with his delegation to gather the rest of Israel, to unite the kingdom together. That's what he sent away to do, to gather. Brethren, this is such gospel truth. The time I have cannot really explain it. Before sending this delegation away, David had welcomed them by sponsoring a feast. It is possible that Joab, David's military guy, heard all about this peace deal that was brokered and the great feast held for Abner and his 20 men. Verse 23, when Joab and all the host that was with him were come, they told Joab, saying, Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and he have sent him away, and he is gone in peace. Word gets around, and it gets around from people close to the king. It gets around from those in the church. Did you hear? You know how it is with some of us. As much as we say keep it close, we still like to, and by the way, this piece of gossip stirred up Joab. Lad, have you heard? Abner was here. The king had a feast for him. He sent him away. You can draw many applications from this. They should have kept their mouth shut. It's time to speak and it's time to cool it. Job became furious with the news and confronted his master. Verse 24. Then Job came to the king and said, "What hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee." Oh, you know, he was on the battlefield. "Why is it that thou hast sent him away and he's quite gone?" Job became troubled by this brokered peace made with the once rival commander Abner. You see, Job still have murder on his heart and the murder of his brother Asahel. He have it on his mind fresh. Job sinned on a number of fronts against his master. David is the king. He's the sovereign. He decides what to do. One, he failed to submit to authority established by God over him. He was a subordinate to David. You don't confront God's anointed in this manner. The same is true in church government. The Bible tells us rebuke not an elder, but entreat him. And the younger man as brethren. Second, he disrespected the king by usurping authority over him, asking him, "What hast thou done?" Oh no, this is terrible. You don't ask the ordained king, "What are you doing?" He's a sovereign. God anointed him to make decisions. Job is the servant. Third, he questions the sovereign decision of his king. "Why is it that thou hast sent him away and he's quite gone? Why did you send him away?" Commentator, one Old Testament commentator, William Blakey, said, "Job's rudeness to David is highly offensive. He speaks to him in the tone of a master to a servant, or in the tone of those servants who rule their masters. Why is it that you have sent him away?" End of quote. The rule of Scripture, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And this is also true of us as subjects to the law of this land. Don't follow the herd as a Christian. The Bible says, "Servants, be obedient to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward, the wicked." Job is the servant, David is the king. Yet the servant is confronting the king. We have dealt with many in this church who are like Joab. Instead of entreating those in positions of leadership, they seek to confront them. Show them up. Instead of seeking to clarify a matter, they seek to control. Joab is out of line, and it serves as a lesson for the Christian. Verse 25, thou knowest Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest. Didn't know that the two made peace. Didn't know that this sinner made peace with God. Didn't know. Didn't see that. And that's how people are. See what we were in the past. Never see what we are in the present. Ruth, the Moabitish woman that came back from Moab. Never see the grace of God in her life. Job considered Abner to be a spy. As far as the context is concerned, Abner was seeking reconciliation with David. Job is the problem. And there are a number of reasons for Job's antagonism toward the relationship between David and Abner. One, Job did not believe Abner was for real. Thought he was a phony. Abner was loyal to Saul, if you know the history. He fought Saul's battles. He murdered those Saul commanded him to murder, and he was hunting down David too to kill him. He was David's enemy. Second, Abner had killed Asahel, the brother of Joab, back in chapter 2. So there is an ongoing feud between the two generals. But the chief reason Joab became antagonized may have been envy. And most commentators believe that's what it is. And I'm inclined to believe that too, even though God didn't say envy. Abner was a proven warrior just like Job, maybe even better than Job. Maybe there would have been a conflict where they can't work together. Whichever is correct, there is meaningful insight for us in the church to consider. At times when men are selected into ministry, there is always the possibility of personal rivalry. Personality clashes, conflict. There's always some with the feeling that new blood may diminish their opportunity. I've dealt with this many times on the mission field and here as well. Many times harmony between church workers can be a problem, and we should listen. As gifted as men think they are, if love for each other is not the underlying grace in the ministry, men will never get along. They may pretend to get along, but they wouldn't get along. They'd be backbiting and hatred. And this is a message for you to consider. A guy told me one time, a fellow elder, an elder isn't supposed to just love the word and love the people. He must love you too. There's always the desire for one to think more highly than themselves. This is what Paul said. For he said, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God have dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Not only true about men, women too. Women can be envious of other women in the church. Want to be like them. Want to do what they do. Want to be recognized like how they are recognized. And this is a problem. And this is a problem here too. So this Bible is rich in application. Be warned. The underlying problem with Job may have been envy that Abner came aboard to share responsibility in the kingdom. Joab left the king's office in a huff. And sometimes people do that here, leave in a huff. Slam the door behind them, gone. Reflection of their hearts. In a huff, in a rage. Without the knowledge of David. David didn't even know what he did, what he's about to do. So we see, first, this brazen confrontation by Job. We come to our second heading, verse 26 to 29, the climax. And when Job was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Syrah. But David did not know anything about it. If you talk about insubordination, here it is. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, and look, this poor man Abner, you have to respect him. He gave way to the more senior guy. He didn't say, "But who are you, Job?" He gave way to him. And it's something you and I should learn. Job took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly and smote him or kill him. He hit him there under his fifth rib that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. The climax of Job's anger was murder. First, he deceived his master David by recalling Abner unknown to him. Second, he deceived Abner into thinking all was well. You know, there's a verse in Proverbs 27, verse 4, that says, "Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy?" Job did not understand why David made peace with Abner. He did not see the broader picture. David wanted to unite the two kingdoms to bring about peace. Job wanted to settle the score. At times, we may not know the broader picture in the church. Why ministers of Christ do what they do. Why they preach what they preach. And whom they select at times to lead. Any godly man in the ministry would have one objective: the edification of the church and the glory of God. But many ungodly servants challenge and confront this order. That's why reformation is difficult. David's commander sought to settle the rift between himself and Abner, who had earlier killed his brother. We see in this passage the awful result of revenge when it is held in here. The Bible says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay.'" Wait upon God. Whether it be home, whether it be at work, whether it be in the church, wait upon God. A similar incident comes to mind, doesn't it? Cain went out in a rage to kill his brother Abel. Jesus said, "From the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." David do two things after hearing what Job did. One, he cleared his name by distancing himself from Joab. Two, he pronounced a curse upon Joab. Listen to verse 28 and 29 as I read them to you. There we read, and afterward when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab. He pronounced a curse on him, on all his father's house. I don't know how these two men got along after from here on. And let there not fall from the house of Joab one that have an issue, or that is a leper, or that leaneth on the staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread. As we all know as Bible students, Joab paid dearly for his crime in the days of Solomon, David's son, in 1 Kings 2, 32 and 33, just to make a footnote. The Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and slew them with the sword. My father David didn't know about it. Abner, the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa, the son of Jether, captain of the host of Judah. Their blood shall therefore return upon the head of Joab, and upon the head of his seed forever. But upon David, and upon his seed, and upon his house, and upon his throne, shall there be peace forever from the Lord. I just read to you from the book of Kings, 1 Kings, chapter 2, verse 32 and 33, which fulfilled what David pronounced. Many times, brethren, retribution for sin may not come right away, may take a while. But rest assured, if one gets his way with rebellion in this life, their sin will come to a full climax in the life to come, because the wages of sin is death, eternal death. So in our message today, we saw this brazen confrontation by Joab to the king. He was angry with his master's decision. We saw second how his anger came to a climax, the murder of Abner, David's appointee, whom he had just made peace with. We come to the third and most important. It's our title message, Character of the King. 31 to the end. Here we see the king's character. David is called. He has called a national day of mourning. He responded to Abner's death as he did to Saul's death. David said to Joab and to all the people, verse 31, that were with him, rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner. And King David himself followed the bier or the coffin. He led the procession. As an example, he led the mourners. He was at the top of the line, so to speak. In the funeral, and they buried Abner in Hebron. The king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner. And all the people wept. No, this was not a show. It crushed him. It shows his character. Hebron was probably the most honorable burial ground in Israel. And I explained that to you last time. It was where Abraham's wife, Sarah, was buried. It was the highest honor given to a fallen soldier, a state funeral. This showed that David had no ill feelings in his heart. When people leave the church, it grieves. I think it hurts the pastor more than it hurts the one that leaves the church. Verse 33, and the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool. No, this does not mean that Abner was a foolish man, by no means. But he died as a general
He died without defending himself. He allowed a man to sneak up on him. He wasn't prepared. He wasn't alert. Brethren, you and I may die like that, not alert, not prepared for death. He died like a fool, not because he was a fool, but he died like a foolish man. His antenna should have gone up when Job called him back. Well, why is he calling me back? The king sent me. Some of us better be warned. The king sent me. Why am I coming back to you? Fool. And some of us deliberately, willfully go against an instruction given. And it angers me. People took notice of David's action. He was a man of peace. He's suited to be Israel's king. Verse 38 and 39. The king said unto his servants, know you not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? He never called Joab that. David was happy to have him on board. And I am this day weak, the anointed king. And these men, the sons of Zariah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. A godly man. David is a saved man. Brethren, we see in this message two temperaments in the kingdom. One was a hindrance to peace. Joab showed a grudge because of David's kindness to a former enemy who he had forgiven. Remember Jesus said, is your heart evil because I show friendship to my friends? Are you complaining because these ones come in the 11th hour and you was here all day? What are you complaining? Isn't it mine to give and mine not to give? This ungodly temperament began with a brazen confrontation. It developed into a climax that ended in murder. On James 1, in James 1, 13 through 15. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and deceived. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. This lesson is meant to show how far some can carry their own personal grievance. It may not lead to such a crime as Job committed, but is our attitude towards a fellow brother or sister any different when we have bitterness in our heart for them? Is it any different? No. Many professors of religion can hide the evil feelings they have in their hearts to the Lord's people. We alluded to this in a previous study. Here it is again. Unchecked bitterness will destabilize a person's relationship with God. It will destabilize the church. It would put us on edge. Bitterness. James 3:16. For where envyings and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, to talk to, full of mercy, good fruits without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. At times you wonder if you should approach certain people. You approach them with skepticism. Is this going to be another flare-up? And yet we're Christians. We're not easily entreated. You should always look back at what happened here in this church. Some professing Christians can become a hindrance to peace instead of an emissary of peace. Now, Job carried a stain on his character right to his grave. An unforgiven spirit. Second temperament seen is David, who was an asset to peace. He called the nation to a national day of mourning, gave Abner a state funeral, and vowed to repair Joab's evil deed. David is a picture of Jesus, the Savior. Brethren, as gruesome as this historical account is surrounding the action of Joab, it is not without significance. There are no mishaps in Scripture. God records this gruesome scene, doesn't he? To teach you a lesson and me. Both Joab, Abner, and David presents to us a spiritual message relating to the gospel. Abner reminds us of the sinner who finds reconciliation with the Savior and is dispatched as an ambassador with the message of peace. As we look at Abner's former rebellion against David, we should ask ourselves, are we still at loggerheads? And some of you are. Are we still at loggerheads with Christ and his people? We show it in how we respond to authority. That we are at loggerheads with God. We're not about to listen to the instructions from the pulpit. We think it is the pastor's commands. We are loggerheads with God. Abner was like this. He was an anarchist, rebelling against the government, the authorities in heaven. As small as children are, you see them stamping their feet, and their parents are giggling. Nothing to giggle about. That's a young rebel. Yes, Silas, that's a young rebel that needs to be checked by the grace of God. You see this picture presented as you look at this rebellion. You should ask yourself, how is my relationship with the king? If we are yet fighting against God-ordained leadership, it is a sign that we are in rebellion against the superior power. We need to become new creatures. The scripture said it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, not David. Given to us the ministry of reconciliation. David gave Abner the ministry of reconciliation. David could have gone to the other tribes and said, look, I'm the king. Listen to me. He sent one of their own. A sinner. Who was reconciled?
What's your message? And that's why it is so distasteful when I hear Christians getting involved in the things they shouldn't be involved in. And they're not getting involved in what they ought to be involved in. It sickens me. Second, Job reminds us of the law. He sought revenge instead of reconciliation. The law is man's enemy. The law deceives us. Job deceived Abner. He pretended that he was at peace with him while he was seeking blood. The law shows us no mercy. The law can become your enemy. The law will not compromise. That's why David compromised with Abner. Because Christ identifies with us, the sinner, has compassion on us. When one is seeking salvation by means of the law, they will die. They will be condemned forever. Romans 2, for they are no respecter of persons with God. For those who sin by the law shall perish by the law. And those who sin without law will be judged without law. The law is the judge. These men didn't know a lick about what they were doing, but God has it here for the student of the Bible to find out what is taught. But you can properly divide a word of truth. Thirdly, there ought to be no question about David. Everybody knows this. He's a wonderful picture of Christ who offers free grace and forgiveness, who feels our infirmities, who weeps when we weep. Our Savior. We saw his character in forgiving his rival, Abner. We saw his grief over his death. God have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they should turn from their sins. David, like our Lord, shows compassion on the guilty sinner. Even though, brethren, David's life is marred by sin, just like yours and mine. He's not a perfect type, but he's a figure of Christ. Christ, the only one without sin, is a merciful Savior, full of compassion. When Abner made peace with David, he immediately sought to unite the kingdom. He said, I will go and I will gather all Israel that you will reign over us. That's the believer. When we go on the mission field, we're going to gather to unite people with Christ. When you give, and when you give substantially, hopefully you know why you're giving. And when you hold back, you are like Joab. But this is a lesson that has bearing on us today in the church. Many today come to church with hang-ups. Some of us come to church with issues of resentment oozing out of our heads and showing up in our attitudes. As though somebody do you something wrong because they tell you something
coming to church with an attitude. As I alluded to this, ain't on speaking terms. Now, who dare you come here with that? Who dare you come here with that attitude? If we be brethren, you don't treat the unsaved that way, your unsaved family that way. You look up to them. So this lesson is for us. Anger and resentment towards another person can lead to a deeper sin. Cherish ungodly thoughts. And I have that sometimes that I have to be careful of. Think the worst about people. But who dare us to do that? Then God forgive them. Instead of promoting peace and goodwill, it will hinder the progress of the church and tarnish the message of the church to others. Joab held Abner in his heart and envied the relationship that was established between him and David. Cain envied the fact that God accepted his brother's offering and not his. He went out in a similar manner and settled the score. God said, "The blood of your brother crieth out to me." And that word "crieth out" means is still crying out. And that's why Hebrews said, "Though he be dead, yet speaketh." You see, you can get rid of God's sins, but you can't get rid of them and their testimony. The testimony rings on and on. And that's why David treated Abner that way. It's a picture of how you should treat the enemy. The one you don't like. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer have eternal life abiding in him. And sustained anger and bitterness leads to hatred. So all the murder and all the war that you read of in 2 Samuel has a purpose, has a message, Charlie, has a powerful message. It is to reveal to us the hearts of men. Me and you. To show us what we are like. But it is to reveal to us the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is me and you, Abner, Joab, except for the grace of God. This is you, Joab. Put your name there. The study of the Bible calls for time and sacrifice. But it is always rewarding to the studier and the listener. And I trust it is rewarding to you today. Note verse 36. And all the people took notice of it. And it pleased them. As whatsoever the king did please all the people. For all the people and all Israel, they come together. Joab didn't do anything. All Israel understood that day that it was not the king to kill Abner, the son of Ner. David's character was proven in front of all Israel that he was a man of peace and reconciliation. But there's one greater than David. Who is seeking your peace and your reconciliation. And don't think that because you sit and carefully listen that you are at peace with God. You are at peace with God when you surrender your will
your stubborn will and write yourself under him. And you show it. You show it in the setting of the kingdom that God has put you in. And some of us are not showing that. And may the Lord help us to cast our lot with Christ. He who believes on him is not condemned, but he who believes not is condemned already because he has not believed in the only begotten Son. Let's sing the hymn for the last time. We have enough time, brethren. 414, as Brother Presley comes back and minister to us with his fingers.